Good morning.
Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I'm sorry for the changes. Problem with the camera. So we will do this on Blog Talk Radio, and you will be able, if you want to, call in and speak with me. I think it's extremely important that we're able to communicate with each other on a day like today. I can't even begin to tell you how I feel, because I think for me this Tisha B'Av is quite different from others, because I think that with the way the world is moving and what the world is doing and how the world is behaving toward us, toward the Jewish people, toward Israel, toward Jerusalem, it's quite different than it's been in the last 60 years. If I have to think about the fact that the Holocaust is my parents' lifetime, if I have to think about that during my growing up in Germany, all I heard and all I lived with was horror and memory of losing families, of destruction, and that everything is still very, very clear. We still have, thank God, survivors. I'm thinking to myself, forget about the moment of being Jewish. And forget about the moment that this was your family. Forget about the fact that I'm second generation only, that I'm only second generation, which means very, very close to the horror. And here we are at Tisha B'Av. And yesterday we talked about the dates, and we talked about the expulsions, and we talked about England, and we talked about Spain. We talked about so many things that are so painful, that today I really want to begin with what comes in the next parsha, which is Vayitchanan. Basically, I'm begging you, or I'm pleading with you. And Moses, who is very close to dying, and who is not allowed to go into the land of Israel, who has been the leader of the people, who has gone through thick and thin with the people, has seen their stiff-neckedness, has prayed to them, has gotten Hashem to change his mind about their behaviors, has gotten Hashem to stop from destroying them, because the things that they've done during the time of the 40 years in the desert were totally and absolutely against everything that they promised they would do at Mount Sinai. The great codifier of Torah law and Jewish philosophy is the Rambam. And he compiled what he refers to as the Shlosha Asar Ikarim, the 13 fundamental principles of Jewish faith, which are derived from the Torah. And basically, he refers to these principles as the fundamental truth of our religion and its very foundation. Listen, there is halakha, and halakha are the fundamentals, basically our laws and our behaviors, and halakha is for all intents and purposes the blueprint of what needs to be observed, 613 commandments that God gave. But here are 13 principles of faith. The reason I bring them up this morning on the day of Tisha B'Av is because We forgot. The world is not letting us forget, but we forgot. Number one, belief in the existence of the Creator, who is perfect in every manner of existence, and is the primary cause of all that exists. Number two, the belief in God's absolute and unparalleled unity. Number three, the belief in God's non-causality, nor that he will be affected by any physical occurrences such as movement or rest or dwelling. The belief in God's eternity. Number five, the imperative to worship God exclusively and no foreign false gods. Six, the belief that God communicates with man through prophecy. Seven, the belief in the primacy of the prophecy of Moses, our teacher. The belief in the divine origin of the Torah. Nine, the belief of the immutability of the Torah. Ten, the belief in God's omniscience Zion and providence, the belief in divine reward and retribution, the belief in the arrival of the Mashiach in the Messianic age, the belief in the resurrection of the dead. I believe. Everything in here is the reason for Tisha B'Av. Everything in here is the reason for the problematic and the misery and the pogrom of the Jewish people. Everything in here is stipulated to take all of that away. Everything in here is total and absolute truth. Listen. Listen, the belief in the existence of the Creator, who is perfect in every manner of existence and is the primary cause of that all exists. So if you don't believe in this God, then basically you don't believe in the existence of the world. You don't believe in humanity. You don't believe in anything. And there are people who don't believe in anything, and they are atheists, and they are probably brilliant, brilliant people who have struggled with the idea of God and with the idea of his not being, because otherwise they couldn't say that he's not. The belief in God's absolute and unparalleled unity. Well, what does that mean? There is no one else. There is one God. That is the God who created the world. That is the God who recreates the world day in and day out. He is the one who makes the seasons. We do everything to destroy them. He is the one to create life. We're the ones to destroy it. He is the one who gives with an open hand. We're the ones to take away. He is the one who looks at us and really loves us, even the way we are. The parsha, the section following the section of Devarim, which is the beginning of the fifth book, after the prophecy that we read yesterday in Eicha, after we're being absolutely informed, not told, we're being informed what is going to happen. We are being foretold by the prophet Yeshayahu. And he says, "Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for it is God and not me who has spoken these words. I have reared and raise my children, the Jewish people, above all nations, and they have rebelled against me. Even an ox recognizes owner and a donkey its master, but Israel does not want to know me. My people, whom I have helped, do not try to understand what is good for them. O sinful nation, a people who were once holy and are now heavy with sin, holy offspring who become wicked, corrupt children. They have abandoned God, disgraced the Holy One of Israel, and separated themselves from him. Why do you allow yourself to commit the same sins repeatedly, continuing to turn astray and be stricken again and again?" From being stricken so many times, every head is heavy and every heart is pained. From the sole of the feet to the head, wounds, bruises, and open sores, untreated, unbandaged, not softened with oil. Yet you continue to sin and incur yet more lashes. Therefore, your land is waste. Your cities burn down. Strangers eat your farmland before your eyes. And it goes on and on and on, and it speaks complete and total 17 years before the actual destruction of the temple. Isaiah tells the people what will be. He gets put into jail because the king doesn't like to hear these constant negativities, these constant prophecies. He doesn't want to hear truth, just exactly the way we don't want to hear truth today. For a Jew, interaction with the physical world involves the sifting out, the process of Birurim or refinements, without becoming enticed and drawn by physicality. Our daily interaction with the world is thus a form of war against the superficial, profane appearance of the world in an attempt to conquer it for the side of holiness. Some parts of this world, however, are simply too low to be conquered or spiritually refined, since their no godly veneer is too thick. Such things should be avoided by a Jew, as there is no chance of a successful conquest. How then the parts of the world to be refined? Rashi teaches us, the Jewish people were unable to take the land of the Avim away from them, because the Avim it wasn't possible. They were spiritually debased and much too debased for the Jewish people to refine. So I brought the castorites against them, who were obviously able to do that, and now you are permitted to take the land of the Avim from the castorites' possession. Now, what is said here? In other words, when the Jewish people follow God's will, the non-Jewish world will assist in the task of global spiritual refinement by preparing parts of the world, the spiritual conquest parts that the Jewish people cannot elevate directly. I want to talk about this. 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, there was homosexuality. Never was there a conversation that it was a disease. It was a choice. It was something that was desired, something that came from human debasement, something that you did because it was in fashion, and something that came from societies that were low moral and spiritual level. Brilliant people, Greeks, Romans, brilliant people, grand warriors, but morally and spiritually debased. For a very long time, this disease, quote unquote, perhaps existed in few. But today, this disease, which today is considered a disease, is being looked at as something other than what it really is, and what it really is spiritual debasement. Well, you know, everybody can choose. God gave us the opportunity to choose what we want. He gave us the choice of being informed of everything. You have 10 commandments. You have 613 commandments. You have the tree of life, which is Torah. You have everything. Your choice is not to choose it. Your choice is not to choose it. And so if you decide that you are going to be a homosexual or a lesbian or both, or God only knows, or transgender, or bisexual, or whatever it is that you choose, you have to know, that God did not create anything that was bad. He created only good. And the fact that today we accept is because of our choice. Israel accepts things that in the 13 principles are denied, in Torah are called abominations. Do you think that Hashem would call something an abomination that he created? And he brings it up. It's not that he doesn't know that we're going to be and we're going to do. He tells you, if you do this and if you do that and if you do the other, you are this. No secret. Everything is nice out in the open. Everything is perfectly explained. Everything is put down on black and white, and you can read it any hour of the day. Go to the internet and look Torah and homosexuality, and it will give you the answer. It will give you the answer to everything. A few days ago, a rabbi was not only accused, but he was accused and convicted of sexual abuse of his female students. We have sexual abuse of male students. We have sexual abuse. We have every kind of debasement in this world at this time. And we're asking, we, the Jewish people, are asking for redemption. I love my people. And I love my country. And I love everything that God created in this world. But I don't love, and it hurts me to the depth of my soul, the fact that we accept and we continue to accept and we make it into a feast, you know, just like a few parshas ago, Pinchas stopped the plague of the feasting of Jewish men on Moabite women. You know, I really don't understand how people, and we're smart people, we're intelligent people, how we don't see and how we don't hear and how we don't look and how we're so completely disinterested in what is going on around us. Things could be very, very, very different. We don't want them to be different. We want them to remain status quo, exactly the way it is. I want to read you a story of King Solomon called the Daily Beis HaMikdash, the Daily Temple Thought, the Untouchable Aaron. The Aaron is where the Holy Scrolls are being kept. Anticipating the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, Shlomo the king built winding passageways deep under the temple floor where the Aron would be hidden so that it would never be destroyed or taken captive. The Aron was absent from the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The Kodesh HaKodeshim is the Holy of Holies in the second Beit HaMikdash. But its presence and influence was there from deep below the surface. Unlike the rest of the Beit HaMikdash, which was completely destroyed, and the other Kalim, which were plundered, meaning all the rest of the beautiful things, the trumpets and the dishes and the spoons and the table. The Aron was untouched by the destruction. Inside the Aron were the tablets with the words of the Ten Commandments carved into stone. Unlike written letters, where the ink and the paper are ultimately separate. Carved letters are one with the stone into which they are cut. The Aron represents the essence of the soul. At the outer levels of our soul, we became connected to Hashem like ink on paper through the good deeds that we do, through our feelings and meditations, at our essential core, like the letters of the Ten Commandments, which are carved, which become one with the stone. We and Hashem are one. The destructive forces of our animalistic soul may attack our internal temple, eroding our outer levels of connection. But deep inside of us and ever present, our essential oneness with Hashem is untouchable. So, if this is so, then basically everything that we're doing is the external part of whom God created. But the internal part of who God created is completely and totally intact. In the last weeks, there are archaeological findings that prove without a shadow of a doubt of the existence of the first temple. As intelligent human beings, we're basically denying the existence of all of the things that are written, all of the things that are taught, all of the laws that man has, because they've got to be coming from somewhere. What I don't understand, and what I refuse to believe, is that there is no chance of changing this, and that we've come to such a level at this point, and we have come to such a level at this point, where we're destroying the very nature of our existence, and we're disrupting the very nature of nature. Children should have a father and a mother. Why? Because what the mother gives, the father cannot, and what the father gives, the mother cannot. You bring in a child into the world with complete, and from the beginning, you're making sure that that child is confused. At best, the child is confused. It sees the world around it, and it sees its own world, and it doesn't know how to deal with it. It doesn't know what to make of it. It doesn't feel part of this, and it doesn't feel part of that. And in maybe 5 years from now or 10 years from now, you'll have an elevation of thought, and you'll look at yourself and you'll say, but where am I? What have I done? Maybe tomorrow that will happen. There's got to be a reason why we are at this level. And the reason is, again, for the same reason as the prophecy of Isaiah, the same exact reason. I'm giving you forewarning. I'm making you understand what is going to be. I am showing you and I am painting pictures for you, and I am making you aware. I am opening up everything before you, and I'm telling you, change. Is this what you're looking for? Is this what you want? Is this what you look at the world to be? Today, you look at the world and you see. You see this. There is not a word in Eicha. There is not a word in Lamentations that we read yesterday that is not completely and totally ready to be into reality at any moment that God desires. Look at what is going on in the world and see that what we have done, we put all the players into exactly the right place in order to achieve destruction. I don't want to go into politics because go find your own. But where did this come from? Where did it come from? God wants us to be happy. God gives us everything in the world to be happy. What makes people mean? What makes human beings murderers from day one? Cain and Abel, not very long after the creation of the world, after the expelling from Garden of Eden, murder, brother, brother. Basically, nothing has changed. Jerusalem sinned grievously. Therefore, she became a wanderer. All who honored her despised her, for they have seen her shame. Moreover, she sighed and turned away. Her uncleanliness is in her skirt. She was not mindful of her end. And she fell astonishingly with none to comfort her. Behold, God, my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself. Is there even a question? Jerusalem, the holiest city in the world, the holiest city to the Jewish nation, to the Jewish people. Holy, holy city to the Christian. Holy city to the Muslim. And seriously, I don't care what anybody says. And I don't care about the United Nations. And I don't care about UNESCO. And I don't care about newspapers and intellectuals who have ideas of why we are not and why Hebron is not. It's really unimportant. Totally, totally. In my soul, the answer is so clear. Externally, obviously, I suffer, and millions of me suffer. And so many of us see and understand and watch, but do so little. You know what? Jerusalem recalled the days of her poverty and her miseries and all her precious things that were from days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the adversary and there was none to help her, the enemies gazing, gloating on her desolation. You know, there is a moment in time when people must ask themselves, what is it that I'm doing wrong in my life? That things are actually not happening. That things are actually falling apart. I've done it. I have done it. I have walked away from my Jewishness, from my religion, from my Torah when we came to America. And I was overwhelmed and overtaken by what I saw, and mainly not because I loved it, but because even as a child, I saw the misery of it all. And I saw people who were ungodly. People who took my father for all that he had, and in no time, a beautiful, wealthy, religious, traditional man, after 5.5 years of concentration camp, who made it again, who through his efforts made it again, decided to come and bring his family to America, the land of milk and honey and freedom. In reality, he wanted to come to Israel, the land of milk and honey, but he called America the Golden Medina, a golden land, because he could be a Jew, and he had freedom of speech. So he went to 7th Avenue, and he paid cash, and he went to his religious, quote-unquote, brothers, that they should open up stores for him like he used to have in Germany, and they should put merchandise into the stores, so he could start his life for his family in the new world. And he opened up the stores, and people walked in, and they laughed and walked out. and he couldn't understand. And he thought maybe because he didn't speak English, and so he hired somebody, and nothing worked. Finally, a friend of his came to the store, and he said, "But Jonas, what are you doing?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "But you have merchandise in the store that is 10 years old. Nobody will ever wear these things again. This comes from the sellers of where people store things. This is not usable anymore today." And my father said, "But I just paid all the money I have." You want to know what took me off the road of my people? My people. When I saw my father, may his soul rest in peace, washing floors at the AMP at night, my father, the finest, the man who laid tefillin every single day, the man I saw when I went to school in the morning wrapped in his talus at the window, and I would stop at the door and I would be so proud of my father and his connection to Hashem. I saw my father washing floors at the AMP. And I got disgusted and miserable with my people. And I said, how is it possible that a religious Jew who sold my father the merchandise allows himself to do such a thing when he's praying three times a day? How can you come before God when you are doing things that you know against his commandments, that you know are against everything that is written in the Torah, that in all your studies and in all your beliefs is forbidden, and you do what you do day in and day out and defile his commandments, defile his mitzvot, defile his earth, defile his world, cry about the temple, cry about expulsion, cry about Sicily, cry about Italy, cry about England, cry about the Holocaust, cry. Instead, you want to forget. Instead, you immerse yourself in the dregs of the universe and all that is bad from each and every place in the world, from each and every people, just like we took on Baal Peor and how we took on Baal, and how we became part and parcel of not the best, but the worst, because the best is God, the best is his Torah, the best are his commandments, the best is truth and law and love and listening to each other and caring about each other and doing for each other and living a life of appreciation for what God has given us. Tisha B'Av is the door to redemption. Never have we been closer. Never has the opportunity been greater. Never are we more flawed. And never are we more holy than right now. We're fasting today. We're depriving ourselves today. God doesn't want us to deprive ourselves. He wants us to be His people. And He will give us the third temple, but not before we give Him what He needs to have. It's time He, Torah, the tree of life. Go to God, pray in your words, listen and believe, and come with an open heart, with a broken heart, to Him, and let Him open up the doors and bring back the temple, Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim Abira. Amen.